You're listening to another premier old-time radio program at Podango.com and also a proud member of the Blueberry community. Another Humphrey Carmardella production.
Hi, this is Ronnie Millsap, and you're listening to the Bill Bragg Show on Yesterday USA.
What a difference you've made in my life. What a difference you've made in my life. You're my sunshine day and night. Oh, what a difference you've made in my life.
You're tuned to the Yesterday USA Satellite Superstation.
We offer you Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce.
Bold Venture.
Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents a new comedy.
My Friend Irma.
Yes, believe it or not, pages from the sketchbook of Robert L. Ripley.
Counter Spy.
It's yesterday once more.
Now the founder of the National Museum of Communications, the man with a million friends, Bill Bragg.
Well, thank you, Nolan Kenner, and thank you, Ronnie Millsap, before that. And hello, everybody. Welcome to tape number one. We've got some great old-time radio coming your way, and all the latest news and information about Yesterday USA for the two-week period that began April 23rd and will continue until May the 6th. Our old-time radio show this time around is a good one. It stars Cary Grant, The Awful Truth. It's the Hollywood Radio Theater. And, of course, your guide along the way is none other than the living legend of old-time radio, Mr. Frank Brzee. All of that coming your way. Old-time radio and news and information right here on tape number one. And begin, my name's Bill Bragg, as the announcement said. And I am the founder and janitor here at Yesterday USA. And we're now in our, 24th year of playing old-time radio shows and clean, wholesome family entertainment for you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And there's no place on this earth that you cannot hear us. And in the United States, goodness gracious, so many different ways to listen. Why don't you visit our website at yesterdayusa.com and you'll find out all the different ways that you can listen. And I'll be running those by you here in just a few moments. But I want to start off today's broadcast with a prayer. I am still very upset and disappointed and so sad by the loss of my good friend, Stan Sulkowski. This came as such a shock to me. And I would like each and every one of you to drop him a thought in a letter to his wife. Shirley is such a sweetheart, and I know that she would love to hear what you think about Stan Sulkowski. He's on tape number four and will be for the foreseeable future. He had the foresight to submit many program tapes for us. I always called him my super-duper substitutor. I told him, I said, Stan, I'll put you running for volunteer DJ. What we do is we have auditions, and we let the listeners vote. And I said, Stan, I'll put you in the list if you want to. But I said, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. If you don't want to bother with that, if you'd like to be my super-duper substitutor, then I'll make you that. Now, you won't be on any particular tape. You'll be on all the tapes whenever someone is not around to fill the slot. And that's what he's been doing. And you'll always find Stan Silkowski here on Yesterday USA. He's kind of got him a permanent home on tape number 4, and that's where he's going to stay. So why don't you just say something to Stan and then mail it to his wife? Would you do that? Here's the mailing address. It's 719 Lake Catherine Circle. I'll give you a moment to get a pencil and paper. Be ready. 719 Lake, L-A-K-E, Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, Circle. 719 Lake Catherine Circle, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. The city is Castleberry, Florida. C-A-S-S-L-E-B-E-R-R-Y. Again, that's Castleberry, C-A-S-S-L-E-B-E-R-R-Y, Florida. The zip code is 32707. 32707. Would you do that for me? I'd appreciate it. Let's bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we miss Stan Silkowski so much. But we come to you in prayer and ask first that you comfort Shirley and the beautiful children that Stan has left behind. And Lord, please accept our thanks for the life of Stan Silkowski. He's done so much for so many people. He was a volunteer for the Meals on Wheels program and a tireless volunteer for some 10 years here at Yesterday USA. He's the kind of guy you always thought would be there for you, and he always was. And now he's gone to heaven to be with you. I ask you to comfort his wife and family and all of us who miss him, and to welcome him through the gates of heaven. Lord, I also want to thank you for the many blessings here at Yesterday USA. And I want to ask you to bless this station and everyone who is touched by this station. And finally, Lord, put your hand on my shoulder and guide me as I attempt to guide this radio station. And Lord, there's others out there who have losses in their lives. Maybe they're not recent. Maybe they're 6 or 7 months old. But nonetheless, Lord, they are losses. And we ask that you comfort those loved ones left behind in those situations. And Lord, there are some sick people out there. Maybe some sick people that have been sick for a long, long time. We ask for your healing hand. We ask that you guide the doctors that treat them. This is our prayer. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone, for doing that, allowing me to say a word of prayer. I've got some good news here. We are soon going to have an opening here on Yesterday USA. Wayne Shirey, who is on tape number 12, will be retiring around June. And I would like for any of you out there who would want to be a Yesterday USA disc jockey to send in an audition tape. We need your program on a cassette. I know that's old technology, but that's what we need, on a cassette. And all you have to do is have some nice, clean radio shows, a microphone, and a cassette recorder to record them on. I'll expect a show from you every other week. And I want it to be 55 minutes, between 50 and 55 minutes. You can easily do a 30-minute radio show and a 15-minute radio show, and there'll be plenty of time for an open and a close and some of your remarks. That's the neat thing about Yesterday USA. It's not just a it's not just a jukebox where we play one old-time radio show after another, all selected by one person. I want to keep the variety a part of the mix here at Yesterday USA. Every 90 minutes, there's a new program director on Yesterday USA. It's the person who's on the air at the time. They decide by their experience, their expertise, their likes, their dislikes, and by the listener feedback, what they're going to present during the next 90 minutes. I never wanted to be the only one to decide what was going to be heard on Yesterday USA. All of the other internet radio stations are operated by a single person. Whatever they like, whatever they have, is what you're going to hear. That's not the way it is here at Yesterday USA. We have about 50 people who volunteer. That means 50 different collections, 50 different interests, 50 different sets of knowledge. And that's what makes it so neat around here at Yesterday USA. Every 90 minutes, it's a new program director. And each of those program directors follows the rules to play old-time radio shows, promises not to talk about religion, politics, or sports. It's okay to pray. It's okay to say, go Cowboys. It's okay to say, I like the president. But I don't want to get into long discussions or turn this into talk radio, because my goodness, we have enough of that. So if you have a radio show collection, if you'd like to be heard all over the world on this radio network that's been in existence for 24 years, then I'd like for you to send me an audition tape. Again, it needs to be between 50 and 55 minutes. That'll leave me 5 minutes to make a little bit of an announcement. Send it here to me, 2001 Plymouth Rock Drive. That's 2001 Plymouth Rock Drive, Richardson, Texas. RICHARDSON. Richardson, Texas. The zip code is 75081 USA. And we're going to do something different this time around. We've always allowed only supporting members to vote on who should be the next Yesterday USA disc jockey. Well, we're going to do it different. We're going to let everybody who wants to vote, vote. Everyone who wants to vote gets one vote. Supporting members, non-supporting members. All you have to be is a listener. I want to get the input from everyone who listens to Yesterday USA. And I want to present all of the audition shows that I receive and let you, the listener, decide which will be next. So be ready to vote. It would be nice if you would support us. You do get some benefits for supporting us that other listeners don't get. But everybody gets the satisfaction of knowing that you are playing a role in keeping this radio network on the air. This is your opportunity to make sure that we stay on the air, to do something good. If you're tired of what you hear on the other talk shows, if you're tired of the abuse that's handed out on other radio stations, if you're tired of never getting a response, if you're tired of calling the radio or television station and only getting voicemail, if you're tired of not having a say-so in what you hear, this is your radio station. Do what you can to help keep on keeping on. Remember, if you call me when I'm on the air live Monday through Thursday, 10:30 p.m. until midnight, I'm going to pick up the telephone and you're going to talk to me in person. If you want to be on the air, we'll put you on the air. If you want to talk off the air, I'll put some music on and I'll talk to you off the air. No other radio station anywhere, no other radio network will do that. That's what it's all about here. That's what it's all about. It's clean, wholesome family entertainment just for you, just the way you like it. So let me tell you how you can send us some money. If you have a credit card, you can go online right now at www.yesterdayusa.com. That's www.yesterdayusa.com. The bottom left-hand corner says DJ Bios. That's how you contact our DJs. The next link over says Donate Money Now. Click there. Use your Visa, MasterCharge, American Express, or Discover. There are different categories you can support us with, or you can just fill in an amount, any amount. And remember, big or small, we love them all. If you'd like to send in cash, check, or money order, our mailing address, again, 2001, that's 2001, 2001, Plymouth Rock Drive, Richardson, Texas, RICHARDSON, Richardson, Texas. The zip code is 75081, USA. A lot of people are supporting us. Let me say thank you to the following people. Our own Tony Fournier on tape number 12. He's been working for us. He's heading toward 20 years of service. And every time he sends in his program tapes, there's a check. $10 check from Tony Fournier. Misty in Amarillo, Texas. Boy, the beautiful Texas Panhandle. If you've never been there, you need to go sometime. One of these days I'm going to get up there and see Misty. She sends in a $20 check. God bless you, Misty. Karen in New York. I've been there. And you know, there's so many nice people in New York. Lots of nice things to do and see there as well. Karen in New York sends in a $20 check. Albert in Santa Clara, California. Not only a check, but a nice, nice note to Kim. It's her first fan mail on her new program, which airs on Sunday. I'll be talking about that in just a moment. Bruce Forsberg, out in California, been supporting us for so many years. He went to the online general store and donated $50. How about John? John is in Macon, Georgia. Oh, boy, I like that part of the country. So many good people out there and so much good food. John writes, your station is a gold mine whose value is priceless to those of us who love classic radio shows. Thanks to everyone at YUSA for all your efforts in making these shows available. Listeners truly appreciate hearing classic radio broadcast. And I hope this donation helps. And boy, will it ever. $240. Let's move along and talk about Will Dufault. Will is a tax preparer, lives up in Massachusetts. And golly Moses, he's been helping us so long, so much. He's our biggest supporter during the auction. And check this out. He went to the online general store and made a $360 contribution. Will, I love you, my man. Leonard Allenberg, a good friend of mine, lives here in Dallas, comes over to the house to visit. I wish he'd come over more often. He went online, donated $60 on his credit card. Richard out in Lake Elsinore, California. Boy, he's been supporting us for a long time. He says, I'm still loving listening. Seems I'm always away from home during your live show, but I do try to listen every chance I get. I hope all is well with you and Kim. Signed, Richard. Richard from Lake Elsinore, California, $60. And that's our support during this two-week period. Let me tell you how to listen to Yesterday USA. I know you're already listening, or you wouldn't be able to hear my voice. But if you come to the Yesterday USA website, and on the bottom, starting at the left, it says DJ Bios, donate money now. Third one is how to listen. When you click there, you'll find out all the different ways to listen. The first way you'll find out is on the internet, and there's a link, and you can click there, and there are nine different players for you to choose from. We recommend the Sparks player because it's so easy to operate. There's nothing to download, there's nothing to install, there's nothing to buy. All you do is come to the website and click on it. In fact, you'll even find it in the upper right-hand corner. There's also a link to it here on our How to Listen page. Another great way to listen is on your telephone, whether it's a cell telephone or a home telephone. It really works good at night if you've got a speakerphone. All you do is two things. Number one, you dial the number. The number is area code 646-213-0005. That's 646-213-0005. The operator will come on and ask that you enter the station number that you want to listen to. Write this down. Our station number is 1066. I'm sorry, 1096. 1096. 1096. That's all you do. Now, remember, this could be a local call if you don't live in California, but nearly everyone on cell phones and most of you on your home phones have free long distance at night and on the weekend. Downloadable podcast, that's right. If you have an iPod, you can listen to Yesterday USA and you can download the programs into your iPod. If you don't have an iPod, you can still go to the iPod link. And it serves as an archive, and you can instantly listen to several thousand of our 16 90-minute program tapes. There are many cable television outlets throughout North America that carry Yesterday USA. When you click on the link there under cable TV, this is the How to Listen page. Remember, you're coming to yesterdayusa.com. And you're taking the third link on the bottom down there from the left, How to Listen. That's the page I'm on. And on the cable TV section of that page, when you scroll down, is a listing of all known cable TV outlets that carry us. Many low-power AM and FM radio stations carry us. There's a link there you can click. Now, I can't guarantee how up-to-date those are. Those are locations and stations that carried us at one time. Scrolling on down, hospitals and nursing homes. Another great way to listen to Yesterday USA. There's some information there that'll tell you how to do it. And if you've got a satellite dish, we're no longer on C-band at this time. We're hoping to someday go back. But we are on free-to-air satellite, Galaxy 11. That's G11 KU band, transponder 18 vertical. The frequency is 12060, that's 12060. The symbol rate is 26700, that's 26700. The audio PID is 1620 left channel. That's the audio PID 1620 left channel. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, you probably can't listen. There's also information on how to get and operate a free-to-air satellite. So those are the ways you can listen to Yesterday USA. And boy, have you checked out our Saturday schedule. It's unbelievable. The 16 tapes I'm about to tell you about, run Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day. And on the weekends, we have special programs. Come to the website, yesterdayusa.com. Count over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 links from the left. New weekend schedule. Click there. You'll not believe your eyes. Let's talk about the 16 tapes. This is tape number 1. Frank Brzee in the Hollywood Radio Theater presenting The Awful Truth with Cary Grant will be starting in just a moment. On tape number 2, we start out with the Renfro Valley Sunday Morning Gathering, third oldest radio show in America. It's the show from April 22nd. The last part of tape number 2 belongs to the Reps Radio Hour. And Yesterday USA is filling in this time around. We have a great Gildersleeve. Leroy's new dog, Tiny, from December 14th of 41. And Honest Harold Circle Day from April the 25th of 1951. Tape number 3, The Music Museum, with your host, Milt Larson, who owns the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California. And he's got lots of music waiting for you. Last part of tape number 3 belongs to Dennis Daly. He's a program director for 3 California radio stations. He's presenting yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Tape number 4, the late and great Stan Silkowski is there. He has Case Dismissed, Juvenile Delinquency, April 24th of 54. Still another episode of Case Dismissed, A Story of Libel from April 17th of 54. And finally, a third episode entitled Child Support from February 20th of 1954. The Vintage Memories Program, show number 286. Melody Roundup and Lux Radio Theater is what we have for you. Tape number 6, the Western New York Old-Time Radio Show Club. And boy, do they do a good job. Dick Olday is your host. The engineer, Bob McDivitt. They'll start out with the NBC University Theater, The House of Mirth, from October 9th of 49. Then it's on to Challenge of the Yukon. And finally, Ellery Queen's Minute Mystery, The Whiskey Mystery. Tape number 7, we start out with the Old-Time Potpourri Show. Rudy Stark is your host from Timmins, Ontario, Canada. He's got Life with Luigi. Luigi Takes Dance Lessons from March 2nd of 1949. Last part of tape number 7 belongs to Walden Hughes, the walking encyclopedia of old-time radio, the program director here at Yesterday USA. He's got Jack Armstrong from January 8th of 48, and part of a Yesterday USA interview that we did with the great Herb Jeffries. You'll also hear Cavalcade of America, Flying Tigers Fly Again. Tape number 8, we start out with the Serials program, Coach Carl Lee Booth, on his way to about 20 years of service. He's got Jerry of the Circus, 2 episodes, first one, part 17, Camera Plan. The second part, number 18, is Prowler. Last part of tape number 8 belongs to the Spurdvac Radio Theater. Spurdvac, one of the oldest and finest clubs in North America. Your host is Dan Hafley. He's got the Hall of Fantasy, Case of an Armadillo, from January 19th of 1953. Suspense is next. An episode from January 19th, also the year 1953. Move along to tape number 9. The old-time radio show with Bob Lyons. And boy, does he do a good job. And he, too, is well over 15 years of service. He's got the full day of broadcasting from WJSV, a CBS affiliate, September 21st of 39. This is part 2. Hope you got part number 1. Big Daddy Don Aston. I've lost track of how many years over 10 he's been working for us. He'll present for you A Man Called X, The Oil Refinery, from April 10th of 1947. Then it's on to Dangerous Assignment, Relief Supplies, from July 9th of 1949. And finally, Shandu the Magician, part number 17, Search for Robert Regent, from July 18th of 1948. Tape number 11, The Horn Speaker, Mike Handy has not gotten his show to me at the time I'm recording this, and it probably won't get here until the middle part of week number one. Tape number 12, the Vintage Group Harmony Show with Tony Fournier. He's got the Collector's Edition, Volume 1, rare 45 RPM record sought after by collectors from 1951 until 1955. Nobody has those tunes. Tape number 12, The A-Train, Wayne Shirey, your old conductor. He's got The Mysterious Traveler, Zero Hour, June 22nd of 48. Then it's on to Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle, Pirates of Cape Banadera, from May 3rd of 1951. Tape number 13, the living legend of old-time radio, Frank Brzee, the voice of Little Beaver. And he's got a history of radio with some of the greatest shows of all times. Tape number 14, Wagons West. And we've got Ed Huffman, Red Rider, and Jimmy Wakely. Check it out. Tape number 14, the last part, belongs to the old smoothie. And that, of course, is Ken Goff. Ken does such a great job, starting off first with World War II newsreels, then it's on to Captain Midnight for March 20th of 1946, and then When Radio Was King, part number one. Tape number 15, The Best of Yesterday USA. Frank Brzee is filling in for our good friend Lynn Noyes. Lynn lost his wife around Christmas time, you know. He'll be back. He'll be back during the next two-week period. We already have the tapes. Meanwhile, you've got David Harding, Counterspy, Bulldog Drummond, and the Man Called X. All of that courtesy of the living legend of old-time radio, Frank Brzee. Tape number 16, Dr. Dale Lukatich, a medical doctor from Morgantown, West Virginia. He's got an episode of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, Mystery of the Sparkling Meteor, part number two, from April 10th of 1952. Last but certainly not least, country music superstar Ronnie Millsap, 40 number one hits, and he's going to sing three of them for you here on tape number 16. Also, he's got a Fibber McGee and Molly, Too Much Energy, from January 23rd of 45, and then an episode of Lum and Abner. That's it. Time now for the Hollywood Radio Theater. Here is your host, Frank Brzee.
The Hollywood Radio Theater. The Hollywood Radio Theater. Adaptations of famous motion pictures with Hollywood's greatest stars. Your host, Frank Brzee.
Greetings again, ladies and gentlemen. You know, there was a feeling of happiness and excitement along Hollywood Boulevard the night this radio theater program was originally broadcast. All the visible signs of a Hollywood opening were there to welcome the radio theater on the air by presenting The Awful Truth, starring Cary Grant and Claudette Colbert. The film itself had won awards, and the radio play was something the audience coast to coast was looking forward to. The memorable performance of Cary Grant as Jerry in this film, produced by Columbia Pictures Corporation, instantly suggested him for the same role in the radio adaptation. But he was easier to cast than to find. In fact, Cary Grant is probably one of the hardest men in Hollywood to find. He was tracked to the beach where he'd gone swimming with Phyllis Brooks. That gave the producers an idea, and they signed them both right there, dripping wet. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the very pleasant truth is that we're ready to give you the awful truth as we raise the curtain on Act One of our play, starring Cary Grant as Jerry and Claudette Colbert as Lucy, with Phyllis Brooks as Barbara.
Sun lamp room of a midtown Manhattan athletic club. Hank, the attendant, is piling towels on a shelf as a young man in gym trunks makes a hurried entrance. He's Jerry Warner, a tall young man, well built and healthy. But just now, there's a sharp contrast between his decided pallor and the two dark, magnificent circles under his eyes. With a quick movement, he bounces up on the table and stretches out luxuriously.
All right, Hank, my man, turn on that sun lamp, give her all she's got.
Well, about 15 minutes on each side is all I'd recommend, Mr. Warner.
Oh, no, 15 minutes, nothing. I've got to get a deep Florida tan if it takes all afternoon. Give it the juice.
Well, okay.
Attaboy. All aboard for Miami, Palm Beach, and Point South.
Hi, Jerry.
Oh, hello, Frank.
I heard you were in here. Thought maybe you'd like to play a little squash.
Sorry, Frank, no time.
Say, you're awfully white-skinned for a guy who just spent 2 weeks in Florida.
Yeah, no, that's just what I thought.
What did you do down there? Carry a parasol? Or didn't you go?
Don't let any idea like that get around.
I get it. Pulling a fast one on the little wife, eh?
Oh, now look, Frank, I'm surprised at you. I'm supposed to have been in Florida. Now, suppose one of Lucy's friends says, why isn't he tanned? Well, Lucy's going to be embarrassed. Well, I'm going to be tanned, Lucy's not going to be embarrassed. And what wives don't know won't hurt them.
What was it? A poker trip?
Sure, a fellow's got to bust out once in a while, assert his independence. Boy, did I assert it.
Yeah, you certainly look it. But I'll bet you wouldn't like Lucy to pull a stunt like that on you.
Why not? After all, a person doesn't have to stop being an individual just because she gets married.
Maybe. Anyhow, how about coming over to my house for breakfast? We were all out late last night, and some of the gang are stopping by.
I got a better idea. Everybody come to my place. Lucy will fix up breakfast for us, and maybe later we can sneak away and play some golf. What do you say?
I'm convinced. I'll see you later.
Okay, ladies and gents, come on in. The joint is yours.
Jerry, that sunburn. You're positively vermilion.
Yeah?
Wait till Lucy sees what Florida did for you.
Yeah, where is she? Hey, Lucy! Lucy! Surprise! Well, well, hello, old dog of mine. How you been? Hey, where's Mama? Where is she?
Welcome back, Mr. Warner.
Oh, hello, Celeste. Will you tell Mrs. Warner I'm here?
I'm sorry, sir. Mrs. Warner's not at home.
Not home? Where'd she go?
I don't know, sir.
Oh, well, when did she leave?
I'm not sure, sir. I think last night.
You mean she hasn't been... Oh, well, okay, never mind.
What's the matter, Jerry? No welcoming arms to greet you this trip?
Now mind your own business, will you? Come to think of it, she probably ran up to her Aunt Patsy's cabin in the mountains. She always does if she gets lonely.
Suppose her Aunt Patsy wasn't home?
Oh, I get it. I'm up to my neck in funny people, huh? No, no, seriously, I wish Lucy would go out and get some fun for herself now and then. Do her good. That's the trouble with marriage. People are always imagining things, and the next thing you know, they end up in a divorce court.
Ah, the broad-minded man from Miami.
Yeah, well, if you think you're going to get a chance to prove my broad-mindedness, you're crazy. She's up at Aunt Patsy's cabin, and I'll bet on it. Saying, is that a spot, Frank? Why, the fish just...
Up at Aunt Patsy's cabin, eh? Well, there's Patsy now. Some fun,
oh,
eh?
Shut up. Hey, turn that radio off, will you? Hello, Patsy. How did you get here?
By invitation. Lucy invited me yesterday on the phone. Say, what is this? Lucy invites me, no Lucy. Where is she?
I don't know.
Hello?
Why, Lucy!
Hey, Lucy!
Hello, Jerry, darling.
Oh, darling. Gee, it's good to see you.
Oh, it's grand. You're looking marvelous, Jerry.
Yeah?
Oh, I nearly forgot Almar. Come on in and meet everybody. Almar's the best music teacher a woman ever had, aren't you, Almar?
Thank you, my dear.
You know Almar Levar, Jerry, of course.
Oh, yeah, sure. How are you?
How do you do?
Everybody else, this is Almar.
Oh, how you do? How do you do? How are you?
Oh, well, now that we're all introduced, I can relax. Oh, Almar and I have had the most terrible time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, I imagine you must have. Where was the recital?
Oh, now, silly, what do you mean?
Well, I didn't know they had recitals in the morning and the people went to them in evening clothes. So formal, isn't it?
Well, Almar does look silly and dale at this time of the day, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, it was such an awful time.
Oh, why? Somebody sing off pitch?
Oh, now stop it, darling. You don't know what happened. Almar's car broke down a million miles from nowhere. He had to park me at a farmhouse and hike to the nearest town to get them to tow the car. And then he had to stay there, hang around garages and things to pick me up in the morning and bring me home.
Oh,
it was dreadful. We were coming home from a party.
You were the loveliest human being there.
Oh, thank you, Almar. You say the nicest things. Well, Jerry, you understand, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Mr. Werner, you have the continental mind.
Oh, sure, that's it. I've got a continental mind now.
Lucy, dear. So sorry, but I have to run. That horrible dressmaker of mine.
Oh, of course, darling.
Well, you know too, Lucy. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. What's the idea? The party hasn't even started yet.
Oh, sure, sure. We know, but you probably want to talk to Lucy. Oh, come on, people. I'll give you all a hint.
Okay, Frank. Over to you. Goodbye, Jerry.
Bye.
Well, Mr. Louvel, why didn't you let Frank give you a hitch?
I wanted to explain. You see, Mr. Warner, the next time I take your wife out, I hope that...
I hope you buy a new car, else I'll loan you mine. Are you hungry?
Huh? Oh, thanks. Well, yes, I am.
Now, why don't you run out and get a bite? A big, strong fellow like you should take care of himself, sitting in drafty garages all night.
Mr. Warner, what have I done?
That's what I'm going to find out.
Oh, Jerry.
We'll discuss this in private, please. That is, if Mr. Louvel can remember where we keep our door.
Very well. Perhaps it's best this way, Lucy. Will I see you soon?
Well, of course, I'm...
Oh, it's all been so perfect, Lucy. Thank you for everything. And, Mr. Warner, I think you must be out of your continental mind.
Well, you know, that was pretty funny at that. I mean, what he just said.
Oh, very funny. Brush me off, will you?
Well, he's gone. You can speak freely, darling.
Well, Lucy, what have you got to say for yourself?
For yourself.
Oh, that's so smart.
Well, I knew you'd say that, and I'm prepared to answer. Armand was invited to the party by a young man whose sister is a pupil of Armand. Armand invited me to go along. I went because I could think of nothing better to do. Believe it or not, I was lonely.
Yes, and then the car broke down.
Yes, and then I stayed at the farmhouse. I slept badly because of insufficient blankets. Twice during the night, I coughed. Now, let me see. Was there anything else?
Now, look, Lucy. This situation isn't amusing, although you seem to think it is. If you had sense enough to see it, you know that our marriage is teetering on the edge of a cliff. Well, you'll try to be funny. But perhaps marriage doesn't mean anything to you. Perhaps you've no sentiment left for me. Look at this on the table, a letter I wrote you from Florida, and you didn't even open it.
It's enough to destroy one's faith, isn't it?
Oh, I haven't any faith left in anyone.
Not even in that conscientious soul at Miami Beach who followed your directions so nicely and mailed me a letter every day?
Huh? What on earth are you talking about?
Oh, darling, you look so cute and pleased with your little athletic club sunburns. Rather like a small boy who's just had his curls cut off. Well, I don't like to be unpleasant, Jerry, but you were not in Florida.
Now, don't change the subject.
You weren't in Florida, and you weren't in Montreal that time you said you were going there. Once you even had the letters mailed from the wrong place.
Huh?
Dear Lucy, Charleston is such a quaint city. The quaint thing about Charleston is Charleston's postmark is Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Nice trick your friend played on you.
Now, wait a minute. Don't try to justify your behavior by insinuating things about me.
What? But I haven't any behavior to justify. I've just been unlucky, that's all. You came home and caught me in the truth. It seems there's nothing less logical than the truth.
A philosopher, huh?
You don't believe me?
How can I believe you?
Oh, listen, Jerry. Now, don't you see that there can't be any doubt in marriage? The whole thing is built on faith, and if you've lost that, you've lost everything.
Yes, I suppose when that's gone, the marriage is washed up, isn't it?
Do you mean that?
Sure.
Well, I guess that settles it.
I guess it does. And let me tell you something.
Well, let me tell you something. I wouldn't go on living with you if you were dipped in platinum. So go on. Oh, go on. Divorce me. It'll be a pleasure.
Divorce you? Are you crazy? Do you think I want people to think you preferred that music lover to me?
Well, then I'll divorce you. It's customary anyway. I think it has something to do with the husband being a gentleman.
Never mind the gentleman stuff. Just get going on it. Go on.
I'll call the lawyer right now. By the way, what's the most convenient day for you to be divorced?
In the case of Warner versus Warner, the court grants an interlocutory decree of divorce to the plaintiff, Lucy Warner. The divorce, if not further contested, will become final in 90 days from this date. That will be all.
One moment, Your Honor. There's one matter still unsettled. According to my client, Mr. Warner, it's a matter of...
Mr. Smith.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Smith.
And who is Mr. Smith?
Mr. Smith is... he's their dog.
No. Mr. Smith is my dog.
He's mine.
Silence.
But Mr. Smith belongs to me, and she's got him.
I told you to keep quiet.
But
ignore him, Your Honor. I told you he was impossible to get along with.
Oh, well. Let's hear it.
The animal at present is in Mrs. Warner's possession. Mr. Warner wishes to have him because...
Because he's mine.
He is not.
It's so.
He is not.
It's silence. So. Silence.
Is not.
This seems to be a custody case. And in custody cases, we frequently permit the final decision to rest with the
the dog.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Now let Mr. Smith decide whom he wants to live
Silence,
with.
Silence, please. The bailiff, have the dog brought in. The custody of the dog will depend on his own desires. And let me warn you, neither of you must use any false means of influencing the animal's decision. Unfasten the dog, please. Now, you may each call the dog.
Come on, 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 come
on, you know who's good to you, don't you?
Mrs. Smith came to me, Your Honor.
Custody of the dog is awarded to Mrs. Warner.
Wait a minute! Well, that wasn't fair, Judge.
Silence. The court is adjourned.
Good day, Your Honor.
Hey, you, wait a minute, come back here, you.
Hmm? You mean me?
What's Mr. Smith doing with that rubber bone in his mouth?
Well, it always was his favorite bone.
Where did he get it?
How would I know?
Oh, you. You'd stoop to anything. You hid that bone under your handbag and Mr. Smith smelled it. You're not going to get him away from me like that.
Get him? I've got him, Dolly. Goodbye.
Rain, rain, rain. Look at that rain.
Oh, why, Aunt Patsy? Is it doing anything besides falling?
I don't think so. Nothing unusual ever happens around here. If I'd known we were going to be buried side by side, I'd never have consented to take an apartment with you.
Yes, but I needed you, Aunt Patsy. You know the period of readjustment that comes in the wake of a divorce.
Readjustment? My foot. Just another word for moping around.
Oh, don't be silly.
Oh, why, you know dozens of men who turn handsprings at a chance to take you out. But no, you'd rather sit around and readjust yourself.
Now, you're just an old grouch, that's all.
Yeah? Well, this is one old grouch who wants to go somewhere where there's life. And I don't mean plant life.
Well, we can't go out without escort, so that's that.
Well, I don't need an escort to go down to the lobby. I'm going down to the newsstand and see Joe. He may be funny looking, but he's a man, and maybe he knocks off early.
Oh, Aunt Patsy, you wouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't, eh? You're talking to a desperate woman.
Boys, front, front. Hey, Mr. Wainwright.
Well, I guess I've read pretty nearly everything here, Joe.
Too bad, ma'am.
Isn't it? I'm so bored. Too bad they stopped printing zippy stories.
Yes, ma'am. That's what my wife says.
Oh, she does. I see.
Oh, pardon me, but did that copy come in of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Bugle?
Sorry, Mr. Leeson. I guess maybe there's something wrong with the mail.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Looks like I won't find out how we did at the rodeo. Oh. How do, ma'am?
Oh, how do you do?
I hope you don't think I'm fresh. My name's Dan Leeson. Room 1214. Morn, I see you coming in and going out sometimes.
Oh, we've noticed you, too.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, say, who is that beautiful girl who's with you sometimes? She has a dog, and, well, she's beautiful.
Oh, that's my niece, Lucy. She's just a little homebody.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
Why, of course I would, Miss Leeson. What is it?
Well, you see, I'm a stranger in town, and I thought that perhaps I'd better down there.
Here we are. Go right in, Miss Leeson.
Oh, thanks.
You know, I think it's just wonderful that we met this way. Oh, Lucy, Lucy, may I present Mr. Leeson? Mr. Leeson, this is my niece you were so anxious to meet. Her name is Lucy Warner.
How do you do?
Oh, how do you do, ma'am?
Mr. Lucy, Mr. Leeson's from Oklahoma, Lucy, and he'd take it as being right neighborly of us if we'd show him some of the bright spots.
Well, it's raining rather hard.
And Mr. Leeson lives right across the hall with his mother. Isn't that what you said, with your mother?
Yep, with Ma.
Mm-hmm.
We're here on a visit. I'm in oil, you know.
Oh, marinated, so to speak.
Hmm? Say, that's a good one. I must remember to tell that to Ma.
No, I'm sure she'd adore that.
Yes. Well, tell us all about Oklahoma, Mr. Leeson.
Well, we all think Oklahoma, well, it's pretty darn swell.
Oh, there's the door. I'll get it.
Yes, Mr. Leeson?
Well, like I was saying, ma'am, Oklahoma is pretty darn...
Why, Jerry.
Oh, dear.
Well, how's the old girl?
Well, never better. Won't you come in?
I fully intend to. Well, hello, Lucy.
Hello. What do you want?
Well, now, read this little legal document. I guess that'll explain better than I could.
What? What What is this?
It's a writ, that's what it is, a writ. The court just ruled that I'm permitted to see Mr. Smith for 2 hours a week. I am permitted to take Mr. Smith walking, riding, motorboating, or aquaplaning. No, not aquaplaning, that's too dangerous, isn't it? Yeah. For the order reads that I can visit with him and entertain him in any form or manner that does not endanger life or limb. And that would rule out aquaplaning.
I suppose you've come to take him bicycling.
What, in this weather? Are you crazy? Why, he catches death of cold. No, I've come to entertain him in any form or manner. Hey, Smitty, where are you?
I'll get him.
Oh, Miss Warner, perhaps
I'd
better...
I'm sorry, Mr. Leeson. This is my husband.
Well,
he's only my husband for... How much longer is it? 60 days.
No. 59. Well, how are you, Mr. Leeson?
Howdy. I'm glad to know you.
Excuse me, what do you say?
I said I'm glad to know you.
How can you be glad to know me? I know how I'd feel if I was sitting with a girl and her husband walked in.
I'll bet you do.
What's that supposed to mean, huh?
Nothing. Why don't you go and play with the dog?
Sure, where is he? Hey, Mr. Smith! Where are you, fella? See you, master's boy. See you, old fella. It's good to see you. Look what I brought you. You're all that a scrap. Come on, let's have a tuck
around. You were telling us about Oklahoma, Mr. Leeson.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm really a man of many interests out there, Mrs. Warner. Oil is my main business, of course, and I can't complain about that. It's treated me fine. And I have a big ranch that's more of a hobby than anything.
Oh, the lamp! Jerry, you broke the lamp!
Oh, it's nothing. I'll get you a new one.
Oh, don't bother. It's only a little import.
Like I was saying, Mrs. Warner, this ranch is just outside of Tulsa. I have just about everything.
Jerry, do you have to play that game?
Any other one?
Yes. Get his rubber bone for him. He loves that bone.
Oh, yes. I remember. Where is it?
In the closet, right there.
Huh? Here?
That's right.
I can't find it.
Oh, but just keep looking.
Hey, what is this? Lock the door on me.
Aunt Patsy, what are you doing?
Hey!
Patsy, dear, why don't you run along with Mr. Leeson?
Patsy, let me out of here. I'm locked in.
Say, is anything wrong?
Oh, no. That's just a game Mr. Waternup has with the dog.
Mister, I want to get out of here.
Oh, Lord. Well, come on, Mr. Leeson. Let's go.
Huh? Oh, swell.
Good night, Aunt Patsy. I hope you know what you're doing. Good night, dear.
Night.
Night.
Oh, I'll break the door down if you don't let me out of here.
Just a minute. Come on out, Jerry.
Oh, framed. That's what I am, framed. You're trying to cook up something between my wife and that Buffalo Bill, aren't you?
Your wife?
She's still my wife for 60 days.
59.
All right, 59, but she's still my wife, do you understand?
And what are you going to do about it?
You'll find out what I'm going to do. Stick around and watch. I've got some rights around here.
To entertain Mr. Smith in any form or manner.
Oh, shut up.
While we are waiting for Jerry to make good on those threats, we take a brief intermission from our play.
For reasons only nature knows, a leaf will die and fall from a tree. For reasons still beyond our knowledge, an infant will be put to bed to sleep, only to be found later, dead. This is the sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, and it happens thousands of times each year. No one knows why or how to prevent it. As much a tragedy, the family lives left behind, confused, angry, hurt, even suspicious. For when an infant dies unexpectedly, the parents become the real victims. Help is needed to restore these families. Working tirelessly to seek answers, the National SIDS Foundation wants to serve and share information with you. The National SIDS Foundation is a member of the national health agencies and participates in the combined federal campaign.
Act Two of The Awful Truth, starring Cary Grant as Jerry and Claudette Colbert as Lucy.
It's morning, a few weeks after Jerry's hectic visit. Across the breakfast table in their lonely apartment, Aunt Patsy is looking at her niece with an expression of growing horror.
What did you say, Lucy?
I said, of course I like Dan Leeson. Why shouldn't I? He's sweet and thoughtful.
And you should be the last one to object. You introduced him to me.
Only because he was a man who could take us out. I didn't expect you to get silly about him.
Was it silly to like a man who's sane and considerate? I was married to one of those gay romantic types, and one's enough.
Your toast is burning. Oh. Lucy, do you know what rebound is? That business of trying to get over one love affair by bouncing into love with somebody else? Well, it's fine. Except the rebound is rarely the real thing. There's the first bounce, the second bounce, and, well, look at me. You wind up like an old tennis ball.
Now, look, I tell you, I'm serious about Dan Leeson. He's a fine person. I like him. I like him very much. I'm all through with Jerry. He doesn't mean a thing to me. I don't love him. What's more, I probably never did. I guess that surprises you, doesn't it? I hate Jerry Warren, and I like Dan Leeson very, very much. I can hardly wait to see him tonight. And I hope he's just mad about me, because I think he's the finest man I ever met.
Lucy.
I know, my toast is good.
Honest to goodness, Mr. Warner, I think it's simply wonderful of you to come here just to hear me sing.
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure.
Mr. Warner, you're awful sweet and all that, but you always seem to have your mind on something else. Or maybe it's someone else. Am I right, Sugar Pie?
Oh, yeah. I'm in love with love, In the spring, a young man's fancy likely turns to what he's been thinking about all winter. Say, how long have you been talking like Amos and Andy?
Oh, for a long time. It helps me in my work. Well, shut my mouth. Who's that gorgeous-looking creature just coming in?
Oh, where? Oh, my, my. Well, you've heard that gag that's flying around town. Who was that lady I saw you with?
You mean that's no lady? That's your wife?
That's my wife.
I guess this is our table over here, Lucy. Sit down.
Come on over and meet her. Hello, folks.
Oh, hello.
This is Miss Dixie Belle Lee. This is Mrs. Warrener, and this is Mr. Leeson, the gentleman Mrs. Warrener is going to marry.
That's right.
I'm mighty proud to meet you all.
Now, you're sure we're not intruding?
Huh? Well, what do you mean?
Well, wouldn't you like to buy us a drink?
Oh, why, yes, of course.
Well, sit down.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, my, isn't this cozy, huh? So you two are going to be married, huh? Oh, I was glad when I heard that. Yes, I said to myself, that Leeson's just the man for Lucy. And then I said to myself...
He's always talking to himself. Yes. This is a charming place, don't you think, Mr....
Dixie Belle Lee.
Oh.
Do you like it, honey? I'm so glad, because I kind of feel like the place is mine.
Oh, you come here often?
Well, I work here. Didn't you all know that?
No.
Say, you're from the South, aren't you?
Now, isn't he just the cleverest? Yes. How'd you all ever guess that, Mr. Mann?
Oh, I don't know. It was just a shot in the dark.
Shot in the dark? Well, you see, Dixie Belle Lee isn't her real name.
No?
Oh, no. She changed it because her family objected to her going into show business. Isn't that right, Dixie?
That's right. Well, I guess I'd better go now and get ready. You reckon you all can stay to see my act?
Oh, of course we'll stay.
Well, nothing could drag us away.
Well, I'll see you later, honey child.
I'll be here.
Mm-hmm. She seems like a lovely girl.
Ah, she is, Lucy. But wait till she sings. A golden throat, that's what. I keep coming here all the time just to listen to her.
How faithful of you.
Does she really sing awful good?
Well, no. I don't think her singing's up to Lucy's, no. Dixie has a sort of an elfin charm, a je ne sais quoi, if you know what I mean. And I don't.
Dan, dear.
Don't.
Don't you think you ought to ask Jerry about it now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
About what?
About our mine, Jerry.
What mine?
Our mine. You know, our coal mine. It's our last tie, Jerry. And, well, I was telling Mr. Leeson how badly it was doing, and he thought maybe he could do better with it.
That's right. I'd like to gamble on it, Mr. Warner. I'm pretty lucky. Do you know what they call me out west?
I can guess.
Well, how about us having a conference at my apartment tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that I present that great little artist, Miss Dixie Belle Lee.
Here she comes, isn't she pretty?
She sure is.
The costume's a little short, isn't it? I mean, unless she does a tank act.
Shh. Listen.
I got an invitation for Mrs. Hutton. All that I don't care for nothing, I'm trotting.
Yahoo! Is that what you mean by elfin charm?
I might be right there.
Say, she'd go great in Oklahoma, wouldn't she? Come on, swing it, miss.
Yippee! Dan, I don't feel well.
Yippee! Why, well, what's the trouble, Lucy?
Dan, I think you'd better take me home.
But, Lucy, we can't walk out in the middle of Miss Lee singing.
Oh, don't you like her, Lucy?
Oh, I love her, yes. I can see now it was easier for her to change her name than for her whole family to change theirs. Come on, Dan.
Well, all right, if you want, Lucy. Don't forget tomorrow afternoon at my apartment, Mr. Warner, about that mine.
I'll be there, big boy.
All dressed up, don't care for nothing, I'm sorry.
I want to hear all about these mines.
Well, I've got all the records and history with me. Oh, by the way, Lucy, I searched all over for the report McCall made before we bought it, but I couldn't find it. You must have it.
Oh, well, perhaps I have.
Well, when you get a chance, take a look through your stocking drawer, will you? You know, Dan, she always hides important things in the top drawer of her dresser.
She does?
Oh, sure, sure. It's an old habit of hers. Every legal paper we ever had smelled a sachet. Even our marriage certificate.
about the mine, Jerry.
Oh, yes, the mine, uh-huh.
Good afternoon.
Oh, come on in, Ma. Come on in.
Oh, hello, Mrs.
Lucy.
Good afternoon, Lucy.
I guess you don't know this fella here, Ma. He's Jerry Warner, Ma.
Hello.
Funny seeing you here, Mr. Warner.
Is it? Well, it's funny seeing you.
I met some people today, and they spoke about you, and about Lucy, too. They knew you both before the divorce.
I imagine you'll run into dozens of people who did.
They spoke very well of you, Mr. Warner. They said you were a real gentleman.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Got any gum?
No. They talked about Lucy, too.
Well, isn't it nice not to be forgotten by your old friend?
You know, Lucy, as many times as I've heard your fine singing, I never realized that you must have had a teacher. Tell me, he's been teaching you for some time, and he's a very romantic type. This woman I was talking to told me that, no matter.
What's that, Ma?
Now, look at this map, Leeson, about this new opening in the northern side of the mine.
Now, Lucy.
Here, now, let me show you the prospectus.
Jerry, I think I ought to tell you that nobody's listening to you.
Huh? What do you mean? Now, what could possibly be more interesting than the Warrener mine?
The Warrener divorce. The gal's name needs clearing, partner.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Is it really?
Certainly, Mrs. Leeson, and so are you.
Dan,
relax. No fisticuffs, I'll explain. Mrs. Leeson, our divorce was one of those tragedies you read about in the newspapers. Yes, a trusting woman and a worthless man. Lucy's above suspicion, Mrs. Leeson, always has been. She's as pure as the driven snow, as faithful as she is fair. I tell you, something wonderful went out of my life when I lost her.
Yep. I know just how you feel, Mr. Warner.
How do you know? How can you know how I feel to have used up the best years of a woman's life?
Huh?
Ah, well, folks, that's the way it goes. Excuse me, Mrs. Leeson, you're sitting on my prospectus.
Oh. Sorry.
Well, I'll be going now. Take good care of her, Dan, won't you? I'm sure you'll be happy out where the West begins. All three of you. Maybe you'll succeed, Dan, where I failed. Goodbye now.
Well, Ma, are you convinced about everything?
What about the music teacher?
Oh, look, you two. Why don't you go back to your room and settle things for yourselves? And let me know how it all comes out. I'll tell you. Put a light in the window if it's yes and two if it's no.
But Lucy,
and if you can't make up your mind, just pull down the shade.
Is, what has Armand Laval got to do with all this? Why is he coming here?
Because I sent for him.
You said that. I still say why. He ruined your last happy home. He'd bust the Oklahoma deal wide open.
That's just it. There isn't going to be any Oklahoma deal.
Hmm?
I'm not going to marry Dan Leeson.
Why not?
Oh, because I'm still in love with that crazy lunatic, and there's nothing I can do about it.
What's the matter with you?
I'm a gibbering idiot. I'm a mad woman.
Oh, now, Patsy, stop it. Yeah, answer the door, will you?
Oh, good evening, Mr. Laval.
Good evening.
Almar, come in.
How are you, my dear Lucy? I got your call.
Yes. Look, Almar, sit down, will you? It's about Jerry.
Ah, yes, your husband. He's a very funny man, yes?
Yes, he is.
But I'm convinced he still cares about me, or he wouldn't do the funny things he does.
Yes, but he doesn't care much about me.
No, he doesn't, no. And that's just what I'm getting at, Armand. You know that everything was all right that night. I want you to convince him that everything was just as we said it was.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Does he carry a gun?
Now, you're not afraid of him.
Oh, of course not, no. But you know husbands.
Then you'll do it as soon as possible, won't you? He mustn't know that I've had anything to do with it.
Very well.
As soon as possible?
Huh? Open up.
Oh.
Mr. Smith.
Oh.
It's Jerry.
Oh, but this is much too soon.
Oh, of course. Well, do something.
What shall I do?
Open up.
Well, you can't stand there. Go in the other room. And hurry and don't come out.
I don't care for this.
Well, neither do I. Let him in, Aunt Patsy.
Oh, Lord. You said it.
Greetings, Patsy.
Oh. Hello.
Hello, Lucy.
Hello.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, I guess you two want to be alone.
No, Aunt Patsy.
I'll whip up a little omelet in the kitchen.
No.
Smart girl, you Aunt Patsy. Matter of fact, yeah, I did want to be alone.
You did?
Yeah. Look, Lucy, let's get right down to it. I've been a sap.
Have you?
Yes. I want to apologize. I know that chump Nouvelle couldn't have meant anything to you, but, well, guys like him just make me murderous. I just want to... Well, I just want to say I'm sorry for everything, dear.
Oh, Jerry. Look, Jerry. Let's meet later, and talk it all over, shall we?
Sure.
Yes, that's wonderful. Here's your hat. Goodbye, dear.
Yeah, but...
I'll call you. Goodbye.
Are you trying to get rid of me?
Oh, no, of course not. Why should I try to get rid of you? Here's your hat.
My hat? Well, that isn't my hat.
Oh, no.
Look at the thing. It comes down over my ears. Look at that.
Oh, isn't that funny? Did you get a haircut, maybe?
Well, not since I came in. Now, look at that thing. Doesn't that look funny to you? With Garde, look.
Yes, I know. It's just a little roomy, but maybe they're wearing them that way this year.
Well, I don't think so. I'm not.
Oh, Aunt Patsy, the bell.
All right. Why am I always answering doorbells?
Oh, well, look, Lucy, if you've got company...
No, it's nobody. It's just Dan Leeson, probably.
Leeson? Oh, well, I don't want him to see me here. I've caused you enough trouble. I've just duck in the other room.
No, Jerry.
No, Lucy, no. I want you to be happy. No. I'll wait in there till they've gone.
Yes, but Jerry, you... Oh.
Hello, Miss Adams.
It's Mr. Leeson and his mother, Lucy.
Oh. Hello, Lucy.
Lucy, dear, I've come to tell you something.
Hello.
We've come to tell you, Lucy.
Well, what have you come to tell me?
I want to apologize for those awful things I accused you of this morning, Lucy.
Yes.
Yes. Well, go on.
What's that? I think somebody's cleaning up in the next room. Lucy, I don't want you to be angry with me for repeating what that awful woman said about your divorce.
Oh, no, of course I'm not angry. What nonsense.
What is that?
Oh, it's nothing.
Oh, but
oh,
Jerry.
Jerry.
I'll tell you.
No,
you hide it behind closed doors,
please,
hey, gangway.
Please.
I'll break every bone in your body.
Don't forget to touch second, boys. Who was that? Was that Mr. Warriner?
Yes, he just dropped in.
And out. Dan, I think we'd better go. Two men hiding in the other room.
Well, all I gotta say is, a man's best friend is his mother. Mrs. Warriner, I certainly learned about women from you. Come on, Ma.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well?
You can't fire us. We quit.
Oh, Lucy, don't. Don't cry, dear.
He believed it. He thought Alma was hiding in that room.
Sure. So did his mother.
Oh, I'm talking about Jerry.
Oh, Jerry. It's getting hard to keep track. What's the matter with Jerry?
Well, you read this in the newspaper. Oh, I could die.
Let's see. Jerry Warriner is being seen these days with Barbara Vance, the madcap heiress. We wonder if there'll be wedding bells when Jerry's divorce becomes final in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? She's going to steal him from me. It's bigamy.
She's not married to him yet.
No, no, and she won't be. He said he'd stick to me for better or worse. And if he knows what's good for him, he's better.
The curtain falls on Act Two of The Awful Truth. And I assure you, a great surprise is in store for Jerry Warrener in Act Three.
The GI Bill? I thought that was ancient history.
It's still around, and it's still paying off.
If you entered the service between 1955 and 1976, you're probably eligible for in-service education allowances under the old GI Bill. With the support of the GI Bill, you can improve your skills, learn new ones, maybe even get a college degree.
I'm working for an associate's degree in computer maintenance.
At your age? How do you do it?
Hey, I'm not that old. Give me a break, will you?
The GI Bill. It may be an oldie, but it still has the goodies.
Stress can show up as anger directed at the people closest to you. If you see what's happening, you can avoid adding to the stress and the anger.
Daddy's home. Wonder what he's mad about.
You're late again.
What's the matter with you?
What do you think?
You're talking like you're mad or something.
Oh, what? Yeah, I am in a bad mood. I wish I lived in a place where the money had George Washington's picture on it, where everybody spoke English, where I could just...
Where you could just pick up the phone and call your mother.
Yeah. I think you caught me being homesick. What about you?
You caught me being uptight. Inspection coming up. Hey, where's the dog? I'd like to growl at him, too.
Daddy, you're silly. You don't even have a dog.
Oh, I'm just kidding, honey.
But you're right about our being silly.
When stress builds up, if you can see it for what it is and change your attitude even a little, you can interrupt a dangerous cycle.
Now, your host, Frank Brzee, returns to the microphone.
Act Three of The Awful Truth, starring Cary Grant as Jerry and Claudette Colbert as Lucy, with Phyllis Brooks as Barbara.
Two weeks have gone by, and the divorce is almost final. Determined to block Jerry's impending marriage to the society heiress, Lucy has tricked her way into his apartment. Just inside the door, she stands facing him, smiling coyly.
Hello, Jerry.
Well, now that you're in, what's the nature of this visit?
Well, I just thought that you know what today is, don't you?
Certainly. Our divorce becomes final tonight at 12 o'clock, and tomorrow we'll both be back in circulation.
That's right. I just thought I'd drop up to wish you a lot of luck.
Oh, that's very nice of you, but I'm just on my way out.
Where to?
Well, as you must know, I'm on my way out to a pre-engagement dinner for me and Barbara at the Fancy.
Oh, Jerry, you can't.
Who says so?
You can't because you love me. The things you believe me guilty of couldn't cause aggravation and heartache unless you love me.
Of course, I loved you.
I said love, not love. Oh, you're so stubborn, Jerry. You're throwing away our happiness.
Barbara's a fine girl. We'll get along swell together.
But that isn't necessarily happiness, Jerry. Look, you and I fight and we disagree on every subject under the sun. But we were happy. It's no fun for me to come here practically crawling to you, Jerry. But our marriage is worth it. I'd do anything to make you understand that you and I belong together. Tomorrow will be too late, dear. Once you're free, the Vances will officially announce your engagement, and you won't be able to jilt a girl whose jilting would be news for every newspaper in the world. You'll be caught by circumstances. You'll be lost, Jerry.
Huh? I'm very contentedly, too.
Oh, no. You'll be miserable. Oh, you dope. Why can't you understand? I'll take it.
Oh, no, you won't.
I've got it. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Who is this, may I ask?
Give me that phone.
Jerry, I think it's...
Hello?
You.
Hello?
You have to answer my telephone.
But I only said hello.
Hello?
Shut up. Now, give it to me.
Hello?
Tell her to call you back.
Yeah.
Hello?
Shut up. Hello? Oh, hello, darling.
Well, it took you long enough. Have you made up your mind who the woman is?
Oh, that's funny. I knew you were going to ask me that.
Uh-huh. So did I.
Who was she?
Well, it's really very simple, dear. That was my sister.
Oh,
really?
Your sister. Now, how are you ever going to get
Keep
out of
quiet.
That?
I didn't know you had a sister.
Oh, sure. She just got back from Paris. Dropped in to see me, you know, and...
Oh, that's lovely.
I'd love to meet your sister, Jerry. Why don't you bring her along tonight?
Oh, no. I don't think she can come over this evening. She has a previous engagement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, naturally, dear, she's very anxious to meet you, but...
Oh, yes, tell her I'd love to meet her. Tell her to wear the boxing
Keep
gloves.
Quiet. Now, look, Barbara, she said if she possibly could, she'd break her engagement and come over later. Yes, but I doubt that very much.
Yes, I doubt it, too.
Well, if she can, she can, of course.
That's right, dear, but I'll do my best to fix it up so the two of you will meet very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear. Hurry over.
I will. Well, now I'm in a fine fix. She wants to meet my sister.
Well?
You're a big help.
Well, you know me. Anything I can do?
Oh, to break it up?
I see what you mean.
Well, I'm in a fine mess.
No, I'm sorry, Jerry. Really, I
yeah,
am.
Yeah, sure.
But I wouldn't worry about it, dear. She trusts you, doesn't she?
Of course she does.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I did it again.
Oh, give me that thing.
Oh, listen, you don't have to take that from
Hello?
Anybody.
Hello?
Oh,
quiet.
Oh, you don't take that from anybody. Put your foot down.
You're bringing your sister tonight.
But, darling, I told you she couldn't make it.
There's no reason for her to call you up every 5 minutes, is there?
Now, look, dear, there's no reason for you to call me up every 5 minutes, is there?
Jerry!
Goodbye!
Well, well.
I'll keep quiet.
Sit down, my boy, sit down.
Thanks, Mr. Vance.
It's too bad your sister couldn't come tonight, Jerry.
Oh, yes. Well, she was terribly sorry, Mrs. Vance. You see, she didn't weather the boat trip very well. As a matter of fact, when I left, she was calling the doctor.
You can imagine my surprise when I heard a woman's voice on the phone. You can't blame me for being suspicious, Jerry, darling.
Well, certainly. I mean, of course not.
I was thinking, dear. Mother, don't you think it would be nice if I asked Jerry's sister to be a bridesmaid?
Oh, lovely.
Oh, well, I think she's sailing back to Paris almost immediately. She said she'd do her best to see you before she goes, though. Oh, you'd like my sister, Barbara. She's very much your type.
Where did she go to school?
Excuse me, what did you say?
I said, where did she go to school?
In Switzerland.
Oh.
And you say your father was a Princeton man?
Yes, that's right, sir. Class of 92. He tells some very funny stories about the place in those days.
Yeah.
Tells one in particular about a football game. Mm. It seems Yale was playing Princeton one day.
I beg your pardon, Mrs. Vance.
Yes, Edward?
Mr. Jerry's sister has arrived.
What?
Miss Lula Warriner.
Hello? Well, I made it, Jerry. A surprise?
Oh, you maniac.
What'd you say, dear?
I just asked how you were feeling.
Well, I'm feeling fine. Oh.
Mrs. Vance, may I present my sister, Lola.
How do you do?
How'd you do? Oh, it's lovely to know you, Mrs. Vincey.
Vance, my dear.
Oh, sure, I forgot.
Barbara, this is Lola.
How do you do?
How'd you do? Well, you know, it's nice getting a chance to meet you. I see your pictures in the paper, and I wondered what you really look like.
I've wondered about you, too.
Oh, well, thanks.
Oh, Lola.
Yes, dear?
This is Barbara's father, Mr. Vance. Mm. Mr. Vance, my sister.
How do you do?
Well.
Huh? What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Only I never would have known you from Jerry's description. I think you look kind of cute. Won't you sit down, Miss Warriner? Thank you. Say, did I interrupt something? Go right on with your story, Jerry, honey.
Oh, well, I was telling a story about my, about our father.
Oh, you were? Well, go right ahead, dear.
Thanks. You see, Mr. Vance, it was Yale's ball on Princeton's 2-yard line.
Oh, Mrs. Vance, I don't want to appear rude, but I wonder if I could have a little drinky.
Why, certainly.
Well, I had 3 or 4 before I got here, but they're beginning to wear off, and you know how that is. Oh, well, don't look at me like that, Jerry. You like a little drink yourself. You know what we call him, isn't it? We call him Jerry the Nipper. He likes to sneak him when nobody's looking. Oh, he's awful cute about it, too, yeah. I've seen him go along all evening and apparently not have a thing to drink and all of a sudden fall flat on his puss.
Edward, a glass of sherry for Miss Warriner, please.
What, sherry? Oh, no, I don't like sherry. Oh, Mr. Edwards, come here, will you?
Yes, miss.
You know what I want, don't you? About the 3 fingers?
Yes, miss.
And snap it up, will you? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jerry. What were you saying?
Well, I was just telling them one of Father's stories. You've heard it.
Oh, I have.
You see, there was a minute ago. Dad had the ball and...
Ball? What ball?
What? The football.
Well, what in the world was Dad doing with a football?
Look, I was just telling a story about when Father was at Princeton. You remember that.
Oh, sure. Well, 'cause I remember. Oh,
yeah.
You know, Pop loved Princeton. Yeah, he was there nearly 20 years.
Oh,
Yeah. If ever a man loved the place, he did. He just adored it, and he certainly kept it looking beautiful, too. You've seen the grounds, haven't you?
The grounds? Of course.
Well, Mrs. Vance, I'm afraid that my sister has a somewhat distorted sense of humor.
So have I.
Your drink, miss.
Oh, gee, thanks.
No, what she really meant to say was that...
Oh, gosh, was that good. Ooh, so thirsty. It must have been that ham I had for dinner.
Now, listen, you.
Where do you get your liquor, Mr. Vance? It isn't too personal.
It's imported from Paris.
You don't say? All the way? Oh, that's pretty good stuff, though. Yeah, if I ever manage to get to Paris, I'm going to look up the guy who sold it to you.
If you ever get to Paris, didn't you just come back from there?
Who, me? Oh, I only wish I had. Oh, I guess that's just one of Jerry's stories again. You know, when Jerry and I were kids, we were the worst liars in the neighborhood. We always used to pretend we had rich relatives who were going to leave us money. Oh, I guess it was harmless enough, though. Everybody knew we were just sort of kidding ourselves.
Are you sure everybody knew?
Well, sure. Who'd be dope enough to look at Jerry and me and think we had money or a family? Oh, but you have to give Jerry credit, you look at it. We're proud of him, you know. He's worked himself up from nothing to this.
What do you mean by this, Miss Warner?
Well, now, you look at me. I'm different. Now, it isn't money that counts with me, your position in life. No, sir. No, it's art. All the time I was working at the Virginia Club,
At the Virginia Club?
Sure. Didn't Jerry tell you?
No, he didn't.
You're a singer, Miss Warner.
That's what I do. I sing.
Well, perhaps you'd sing for us
now. No, yes. Mr. Vance, some other time. You see, my sister...
Now, that's the trouble with you, Jerry. You've tried to keep me in the background all your life. Well, of course I'll sing for you. Sure I will. Do you own a piano?
Right there.
Well, thanks. Now, you see when... Oh, wait a minute. Don't anybody leave this room. I've lost my purse.
Good gracious.
There's your purse, Miss Warner, on the chair.
Whew! Well, am I relieved. Oh, Mr. Edwards.
Yes, miss.
Well, you kind of keep an eye on my purse, you know, right here. Thanks.
Lola, I think we better go now. It's getting late.
Oh, no. Now, not before I sing, Jerry. Oh, God. Who does your tuning?
I'm sure I don't know.
Well, maybe it's just the piano.
What are you going to sing?
Oh, it's a surprise, Mrs. Vance. But the first time I sang this number, oh, I killed him. You know, there was a fellow there, I think he was a critic. He said my voice had a, let me see, what was it? Oh, yeah, elfin charm. Je ne sais quoi, you know what I mean. Now, quiet, please.
Barbara, I'm afraid.
Quiet, Mrs. Vance. I got an invitation from Mrs. Hutton. I'm all dressed up, don't care for
stop
nothing.
It, stop
I'm
it, stop it. Come on, get up. You're getting out of here.
No, I won't stop. All my life, you try to keep me in the background.
I said
I
stop
won't
it.
Stop. Now. Oh, my finger.
Oh, dear. Only one hand.
Oh, I might be right there speaking
good
to
night, Mrs.
Vance. I'll tell
Vance,
her.
Barbara,
now,
good night. I'm sorry. This way, Lola, dear. This way, sweetness.
Jerry, aren't you speaking to me?
No.
That's better. Oh, it's wonderful of you to drive me up to Aunt Patsy's cabin after all the trouble I've caused you.
Shut up. I'm handing you over to your Aunt Patsy, and then I'm leaving for good.
I don't blame you, Jerry. I really don't, honestly. Thank you, Jerry. You can leave now.
Oh, no, no, no. I want to see you safely in the door where you can get your aunt's hair and out of mine.
Mrs. Warren.
Hello, Frank.
I wasn't expecting anybody tonight.
Will you tell Aunt Patsy I'm here?
Why, she ain't here, Mrs. Warren. She ain't been here for weeks.
What?
Oh, I get it. Another one of your little tricks, huh? Well, it won't work. I'm going back to town and I'm going alone. Good night and goodbye.
Goodbye, Jerry. Be careful driving, dear.
Hey.
What's the matter?
Well, the keys to the car, where are they?
What?
The keys to the car, the ignition key, where is it?
Well, I don't know. Did you have it when you came?
Well, how do you think I drove here? Now, listen, Lucy, you took that key and I want it back.
I haven't got it.
You have so got it.
Do you want to search me?
Yeah, no.
Oh, poor Jerry. I'm afraid you're stuck here all night, darling. Isn't it a shame? Here in front of the fireplace. just the way it was when we came here on our honeymoon, Jerry.
Oh, now, please, Lucy. The less you have to say about it, the better I'll like it.
Well, it won't be long. It's a quarter after 11. 45 minutes, and you'll never have to listen to me again. Just 45 teeny minutes. Funny, isn't it, Jerry?
Well, it wasn't my fault. I only... Oh, keep quiet.
45 little minutes. Happy, I expect. All this that happened tonight will be forgotten. I'll tell Barbara Vance myself that it was all a joke, and that I want you to be very, very happy. It's only 30 minutes now, Jerry.
Lucy, listen, I...
Oh. She seems to be a nice girl, Jerry. I'm sure she'll mean more than... Never think about me. Never let me spoil your happiness, Jerry. I'll get along all right. Just be happy, darling. I'll get along all right. No one will ever know that I... Oh, I shouldn't say these things, should I, Jerry? I'll get along all right.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Yes?
Listen, Lucy.
What?
Listen, it's all off. I'm not going to go through with it. I don't care whether you love me or not. You're married to me, and you're going to stay married. You hear?
Jerry!
Yeah, call the caretaker. No, I'll call him myself. Frank, come in here right away.
Hey. Anything wrong, folks?
Now, listen, Frank, you're a witness. See, the divorce is off.
Oh, Jerry!
Yeah, exactly 30 seconds before 12 o'clock, we called off the divorce. Remember that and swear to it.
You betcha.
All right, now, get out.
You betcha.
Oh, Jerry.
Lucy.
Jerry, listen. 12 o'clock. Wedding bells, darling.
Every second that passes, I love you twice as much.
Say it, darling.
I love you, Lucy.
I love you, Jerry.
I love you, Lucy.
I love you.
Thank you for joining me for another production of the Radio Theater. This is Frank Rizzi saying good night to you from Hollywood.